Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Salutations and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Off. This is episode 19 of the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network nerd show. I have some nerds with me today. Karen is not here, but it's fine because she doesn't think she's a nerd anyway. She's a nerd.
Oh, no. You forget. Sunday she admitted to it, dude.
You're right. She did admit to being a nerd, and now she finally isn't going to be on the show. Yeah, I'm sure she'll be back on the Saturday edition of the show, but, it had been a week, you know, we couldn't do it last Saturday because we were on the road. So I said, Lynn, let me see if I can try to make something happen Tuesday because a lot of stuff has happened since the last time we had a show. So I went and got a couple guys that you guys know from the show and from other places. Of course, we have my man Chris from the Insanity Check podcast. What's up, man?
What's up going on, peoples? What's going on?
Chilling. And we also have the homie Aaron Rand Freeman from Everything on Twib on the show, too, man. What's going on, dog?
Nothing much. Pleasure to be here, my friend.
Oh, man. Glad we could have you. Glad both of you guys can make it. Two of my favorite nerds to talk to. Of course, here at the Nerd Off, we start every show with a very simple question that can sometimes lead to more complex answers. But it's this. What have you been watching? What have you been playing? I will start with you first, Chris. What have you been watching? What have you been playing?
Well, obviously what I've been playing, GTA Online. And, yeah, the servers are getting better and, that shit is addictive. Shit is mad addictive. Yeah. So I actually didn't play yesterday because I had shit to do and I had to force myself to actually hit the controller for myself. So I could not play.
Now, I haven't played online. I just beat the game yesterday, I believe. So, like, I feel like now I'm ready to play online and get on there with my homies. Can you describe to me what is the online like and what do you like about it?
So, the online is basically, like, I like the story and how they did GTA 5, but it really, when you start playing the online, you realize that GTA 5, the single player, was really just the tutorial for online. And online feels more like you would do in a normal GTA game. You have random missions to pick up drugs, fight gangs, and things like that. It's more GTA than I think the single player was. And that's what you do. You get to ride around with your boys, and you can do crew versus crew, and like death matches and survival modes. You can do races, you can do plane races, car races, bike races, racing in parachutes and shit like that. I mean, you got all that shit going on. But then the fun thing is just being in a regular room, in a regular GTA world in Los Santos, and doing criminal shit with your boys. So, for instance, Wound God, who is the worst guy to go robbing banks with.
Okay.
I'll be, like, we'll take turns, or one person going to rob the store while the other person is the getaway driver.
Yeah.
And if you shoot the cops in online are way more aggressive than in single player. If you shoot the...
Hey, I'm getting a little bit of static. Is that from you, Chris? All right, now, it's gone now. All right.
It's gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's back.
Hold on. Is it there?
Yeah, I think it might be from you. Hold on, I'm going to hang up and call you right back.
All right, cool. All
right, yeah. Sometimes that happens on Skype, guys. Apparently, his connection was robbing him.
There we go. We're still getting... good?
It's a little better. Go ahead.
All right. If I need to, I can go into the studio and do this. But matter of fact, I'll start moving over there now. If you shoot the cops in online are way more aggressive than in single player. Mm-hmm. And if you shoot the store clerk, you automatically get 3 stars in the helicopter coming after you. And Wound Guy will shoot the store clerk and not let you know. So you don't get the stars if you're the getaway driver until they get into the car with you. So you're like, okay, I'm good. We're gonna rob this bank. We'll get 2 stars. We'll escape. He gets in my car. He has 3 stars. Next thing you know, we're trying to ride through the mountains, trying to escape a helicopter and the cops and everything like that. Man, it's just fun.
And there's a huge, for people that haven't played the game, there's a huge difference in the way that stars are handled in this game. And the jump up between like just 2 and 3 is amazing. And 5, I don't even know how people escape on 5. Like,
I've escaped on 5 because what I did was I stole, in single player I did this, I went to the army base and stole a jet. And I went to Los Santos International and started blowing up planes. That's the only way I could escape five. Because right. Then I would get 5 stars and I would just fly away. But other than that, yeah. So go ahead and hang up and try calling me again. All right. I'm in the studio now.
All right. Cool. No problem. But yeah, I'm very interested in the GTA Online experience.
It's really, really interesting. I'll let Chris come back on and start talking. I don't want to, because I realize I've been doing something else in GTA Online. Even though I think Chris can tell you, I don't know if anyone's seen it, maybe. Mm-hmm. I was on a server and I had my friends do this. With 6 people on a server, all at 5 stars.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back.
Chris, have you ever seen a server where everyone on the server has 5-star wanted level?
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's the end of the world, by the way. Just if you ever wondered, like, if Cobra ever really attacked the United States, like, the way they do, that is what would happen. It's ever, like, literally 8-9 choppers, cars, police crashing into each other, friendly fire everywhere, civilians getting hit. No, it's madness. It's absolute. And as a matter of fact, in the original Grand Theft Auto 3, there was a code called Everybody Attack Every. There was a code where every civilian spawned a gun and everybody attacked everybody.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Oh, and then, so that's the other thing, too. So you can, what I've been doing is to try to level up and get more money, I create invite-only rooms so that it can just be myself and anybody invite in there. Because what happens, if you go into a regular public room, you'll get random people. And some of the other people, they're criminals, so they can be assholes. So they'll wait for you to, like, rob a store. Mm-hmm. And then when you're coming out, they'll shoot you. But I also figured out that what will happen with that is regular people will do the same shit. Like, I robbed a bank one time, and I kept the gun on the store clerk as I'm walking out. And I started getting shot, and I was like, the cops aren't here. It was a regular citizen in the game shooting me in the back because I robbed the store.
Wow.
Yeah, the game, it's insane. And this is still early. So
once
people still
once a lady, I'll just say this. Once a lady killed my getaway driver because he was just sitting there in the gas station. And when I robbed the store clerk, she started shooting at me. And then apparently she just turned on my driver and shot. Because, you know, it's just a lady. It's just a business lady. Lady in just her heels and a skirt. And she just pulled a gun out of her purse and shot my driver twice in the head. And he wasn't paying attention.
I guess that commercial for mandatory conceal laws is real.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Los Santos is definitely a carry conceal state because everybody can be packing in that game. And it's a load of fun. And then when you do the missions, like, this is still early, so people are still having some connectivity issues. They're still ironing out the bugs. They haven't done the heist yet either. And I can just imagine when they start putting this stuff together, it's like, it's addictive, man. It is really addictive. You'll sit there and try to get the money and leveling up. And if you, like I said, if you start doing the crew versus crew shit, mm-hmm. it's even more crazy. And it's just, it's a load of fun. Like, the single player really was just the tutorial to get you used to the mechanics of the online, because it's clear to me that online is really where it's at right now.
Nah.
So.
You.
Go ahead, Aaron. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, has anyone ever tried being a Batman?
Being Batman?
You can go into passive mode where you can't be shot.
Yeah.
So what I do is I walk around with a friend, just literally just walk around talking. And if we see somebody doing some froggy shit, we find the person, you take off passive mode, kill the person, and you get on the server, you go, whatever your name was, you can get your money here in this street. Just find my dot. Your money's there. and people really react like NPCs in an RPG. Go, oh, dude, thanks! Oh, thanks, man, that's awesome! Black Jesus, that's cool!
Oh, man, you know, it's... That yeah, because awesome. What can happen is if you can put a bounty on other players... So if another player's killed you or something like that, you can put a bounty on them, and other players can go and then kill them for the bounty.
Wow.
And what I found out also is NPCs can put bounties on you too.
Wow.
I've stolen a car from a regular NPC character in the game, and they put a bounty on. There's like unknown put a bounty of $5,000 on your head. I'm like, for stealing this car? Come on. Oh, and then the car shit. There's way more mods now, and everything's more expensive. And that's because you can earn money really easy in the game. So a couple of the car mods they have now, you can buy car insurance and you can make any car your personal vehicle.
Yeah.
What you can do is there's two mods in there I've seen. I know Aaron's probably seen them. There's the ignition bomb and then the remote detonator. So if somebody steals your car, you can blow them up in your car.
Dope.
Yo, this game is, like I said, they've been ironing out some kinks with the servers and things like that. It was bound to happen.
Yeah, but I heard, like, people are losing their saves and stuff like that, but...
That was happening earlier. Like I said, I've been in since probably, I guess, maybe last Wednesday. So it came out Tuesday. Tuesday was having issues. About Tuesday night, last Tuesday night to Wednesday, I've been pretty much smooth sailing and haven't had any real issues. But, yeah, it's like, it's still got some issues here and there, but I'm telling you, man, once they iron this shit out, cause this is really the first time they've really tried to do something this large.
Yeah.
They iron this shit out, man. This shit is going to,
already has trumped, Call of Duty for the number one spot for most minutes played on, on Xbox Live. Already,
because dude, is that crazy? Like, if you can do whatever you want, if you're just like, man, I just want to play some golf with my buddies, create an invite only game, play some golf with your buddies, and you can do the regular missions in the game. And there's actually kind of a story mode kind of too. Anyway, you meet people like Trevor, you've got Lester there, Lamar picks you up from the fucking airport. It's like you have like little missions like that and little story mode missions throughout the game that you can play, so you can technically play online by yourself, but you can do it with your buddies and things like that. You can do crew versus crew in the death matches. They have a survival mode, which is kind of like the horde mode. Mm-hmm. I tried doing it by myself, and I was like, yeah, I definitely need other people here. Mm-hmm. Where they give you waves of like cops and stuff like that coming after you, and you're in like a little like some little area, and you got to fend them off. It's fun, man. It's got a mode and things to play for anybody. For whatever you want, you got it. You can do it, man. It's addictive, man. I can't wait until you get on it, man. You're gonna be like, this is dope.
Well, now that I beat it, and now that I know you guys, that the kinks have been worked out with the losing saves thing, I'm definitely gonna start playing online. I was like, my main reason for hesitating was the losing your save thing. Cause, yeah, you know, I know people were kind of like, oh, it's not that big a deal, but it was a big deal for me.
No,
personally. So, you know, now that I know that's been worked out, then, yeah, I'm gonna jump in. Aaron, what about, oh, and Chris, I guess, did we talk about what you've been watching at all?
So what I've been watching, I have to do, cause of my training, I have to do, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on, Amazon. So I've been watching that. Love it. I think it's, you know, I don't know how long it's going to last because it's a sci-fi show. And I realized it hit me last week that it's a really techie sci-fi show. And I don't know how techie sci-fi shows will do on network TV. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for it, but we'll see what happens. And I gotta start watching Arrow. I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm gonna buy the season pass on Amazon and watch the first season of Arrow. And then, I rewatched Iron Man 3 about 2 weeks ago. I got the Blu-ray, rewatched it, and I've been working on the review since then. And I gotta say, man, I really thought when I watched it again that I was gonna downgrade it from a 4 to a 3. Mm-hmm. But after watching it again, I realized that it's a really good movie. Like, I think that the anticipation that we had and the high we had from Avengers really hurt that movie to a point where it couldn't meet the expectations that everybody had set for it. But after, like, being away from it for, like, a few months and getting the Blu-ray and sitting down and watching it with lower expectations, not even lowered expectation, but just not being, like, not having that Avengers high anymore, I'm like, yo, this is a really good fucking movie. It's, like, probably one of it's up there with the best movies that Marvel's done. I mean, they really got a lot of stuff right with that. I mean, even with some of the controversy with the Mandarin stuff, like, it's still a really good movie. Like, I was watching it the entire time going, oh, I didn't like this. Oh, wait, I actually like this. This is actually good. I mean, it's a really good movie. So I'm working on that review right now. So.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it because my main issues with the movie were I didn't feel like he got enough suit time.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to get cute with it where, like, what if he just had a glove and a boot, you know, and like, comedically those scenes were cool, but then like, when the movie ended, I was kind of like, man, I don't really feel like he was Iron Man.
And that's what got me too when I first, that's what I thought was going to get me too.
Yeah.
The reason why it changed my mind after watching it again, I watched it again and I was like, wow, it goes with the theme of the movie. The theme of the movie is that Tony Stark is Iron Man and Iron Man isn't his suit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch it that way and watch the movie, it's like you see that theme about the movie. It's like, yeah, he's not always in the suit, but he's doing Tony Stark shit. And you're like, oh, that makes sense, though. He's still being Iron Man. He's just working with, like, what happens when you catch Tony Stark off guard with a prototype suit? Mm-hmm. Like, what is he going to fucking do? It's like, he doesn't have access to the suit. Is he just going to be, like, goes back to that scene with him and Captain America in on the helicarrier where Rogers is like, what are you without your suit of armor? It's like, well, this movie kind of answers, like, yo, he's still technically a badass who can fix shit and kick your ass if he needs to because he's that fucking smart. So it's like, it kind of, like, I had the same worry when I first watched it. But after watching it again, I was like, it fit with the theme of the movie. So.
And then my other issue is I really am sick of the dude gives up everything for a chick superhero trope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Like,
yeah.
That was a big letdown. Like, because the movie to me was kind of like redeeming itself with that last action scene. And then, even with Pepper Potts saving him, kinda, I was okay with that too, cause it was like, you know, cool. I actually like that she has a function and something to do. You know what I mean? Cause a lot of times it's just damsel in distress, you know? So she kinda saves the day, quote unquote. But then when he's like, yeah, I'm about to give this all up for you cause I realize how much I love you or whatever. To me, that was kinda like, a week.
I'm not gonna lie. I say that in my review. That's still the part that didn't sit well with me either. So it still does. It's just, it wasn't as bad.
Yeah.
The feeling.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I was mentally prepared for Pepper Potts to be a superhero and Iron Man to continue being Iron Man full speed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't happen. And I was like, wait, but why stop? What is this, Batman? Why are you stopping? What happened?
Yeah, I also for me personally, it is kind of like this comic book misogyny that we have where women are the bad guys because they're not into it as much as us. And it comes into like this, like it leaks its way into our fiction where, you know, the chicks in comic books, you know, in addition to being scantily clad and hot and shit, that's, you know, that's kind of neither here nor there for me. But the shit where it's like, and Thor has a girlfriend, but the only way to like prove his love is to stop trying to save and help people. And she could never possibly understand why he would do these things, you know, like it's that type of, you know, like trope that I'm just so sick of. So to see a movie like fall into that, especially a movie that in my opinion is kind of more emotionally mature than most superhero franchises. So to see them fall into it at the end was really well, where do we go here from now? Like, cause now it's going to be like, if there's a Iron Man 4 or another Avengers movie, it's almost like, well, what was his impetus to even get back in a suit? Like,
right. Well, you know what? After watching again, I understood. I didn't feel as bad. Here's why I didn't feel as bad about him blowing the suits up at the end anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you watch it again, you hear the conversation he's having. There, he's talking about bringing it back down to a reasonable number. Cause remember, he had like 40 fucking, I mean, that was a Mark 42. Yeah. So he blows it up and he's basically like, yeah, I'll bring it down to a reasonable number. So he's not technically, I thought that the same way. When I watched it the first time, I was like, oh, he's giving up being Iron Man. Then I watched it again and I was like, oh, he's just blowing up the extras. He's gonna still be making suits. He's still gonna be Iron Man. He's not gonna have the obsession that he's been having. And it's because of the rest of the movie, I'm like, okay, I get that now. Whereas the first time I saw it, I didn't get that. So, like I said, watch it again.
I will.
See how you feel about it. Because like I said, I was really like going into watching this Blu-ray. I didn't order it on, I wasn't excited to order it. I didn't order it on Amazon. I actually went to Best Buy to pick it up because I was like, oh shit, Iron Man 3 came out today. Well, let me go ahead and do this. I really thought I was going to knock it down from a 4 to a 3. And after watching it again, I was like, damn. I really did like this. I think this was a really good movie. And it's like the things that bothered me before just didn't bother me as much. Mm-hmm. Still had some issues with them. But like I said, I think it's one of those movies that if people give it a second chance and watch it again, they'll feel a lot better about it. So yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's why I wanted to bring it up. But that's basically been it for me.
So the Iron Man 3 just seems like I'll tell people, I think it's the most important comic book movie I've ever seen. Because I've never seen, when have you seen a comic book movie do the comic book thing where they just have 5 issues about something offbeat?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden they'll have a Batman comic about Bruce Wayne solving a crime. And he'll like disarm one dude with a knife in 5 issues and you just see him being Bruce Wayne walking around with his hands in his pockets. And that's something comic books do. Movies can't do that. Because they need to deliver us the superhero post haste because we paid for it. Go on.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
So the idea of Iron Man 3 being a movie about Tony Stark and his post-traumatic stress disorder?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. For a movie?
It sticks out because what stuck out to me again, and I think this is also what got me when we were all so high off Avengers and everything being linked together, Iron Man 3 is almost completely, I mean, he has the, it's tied to Avengers because of the post-traumatic stress syndrome. But outside of that, it is so isolated from the other fucking movies. Like, there is no, almost no real, references to any of that shit anymore. Shield's not around. It's like, I mean, other than the after credit scene and him keep mentioning the wormhole in New York, that's it. You know, it's like, it is so isolated and it really is its own standalone story that's just about Tony Stark being Tony Stark and having to use his brain and use himself being Tony Stark and come to terms with himself being a superhero and it not being just his armor, but himself being the superhero. It made more sense after watching it again. So, yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going to watch it again because, yeah, I didn't pick that up from the ending. So maybe I just missed something, but I'll watch it again.
I think we all did. I mean, like I said, I missed it the first time I watched it and I wasn't getting this. And after watching it again, I was like, I get the movie more now.
Yeah.
So, and again, this goes also back, and I'm actually mentioning this in my review. I should credit you for this. The other thing that hurt this movie is, Marvel's marketing campaign on it, which is so over the top and extreme that it made you think the movie was going to be one way. And then when you see it, it's something totally different, which is not bad. It doesn't make the movie bad. But when you're going into a movie expecting one thing because of all the marketing and hype behind it, and you don't get that, you kind of feel let down, even if the product itself is good. Yeah. And I feel like that's what Marvel also, they kind of fucked that up with that. And so I see them kind of toning it down a little bit with the Thor stuff. So I'm hoping maybe they learned their lesson. They don't go over. I mean, they were just hitting it over the top and out of the park to try to ride that Avengers wave with Iron Man 3. And I think it kind of hurt them. And like, I think if they had gone the more measured route, it would have been better received. So
yeah, because I think Aaron's right. It is more of a story that kind of narrows the scope down, and it almost is like a spinoff, like a one-off graphic novel. And you know, obviously they'll be getting back to the Avengers universe soon. Aaron, what have you been watching? What have you been playing, man?
Well, since like I said, I play Grand Theft Auto. Obviously, the only difference is I spent some times on the server. I make sure my dude he has on a vest, button down, shade, so he's a sheriff. So he just walks around. He's just walking around. If I see one person's killed too many people on a server where nobody's killing anybody else, I gotta go find that person, have a word with them. and you know, other than that, the experience is, as Chris described, absolutely superb. But because of that, I'm gonna mention, I played the demo for Beyond Two Souls for PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's from the guy, it's from the, I forgot, Quantic Dreams, I think it is, people who made Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain is a heavily flawed game, and this is really, 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 really superb. So if anyone has a PlayStation 3, check out the demo. I played the demo and I'm down on it. I'm down to get it. It comes out today. That's what I will be playing, since I'm already playing Grand Theft Auto Online and Chris pretty knocked it out. I'm going to be playing Beyond Two Souls. It's like Heavy Rain, one of those QuickTime games, but they've managed to design it as such that you aren't quite just hitting buttons and you're not doing mundane stuff. It has a certain type of feel to it. It has a certain type of presence. You're actually controlling characters now on the screen. There's now fast movement. There's now skill-based stuff. Intuition is a game to play, would be the best way to put it. It's not just you playing through a movie. So I'm kind of excited about that. And I am terrified of watching anything because the last two seasons of Fringe took such a huge dive that I'm actually traumatized. I haven't been able to sit down and watch a series in about a month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Fringe, the first three seasons of Fringe, I'd say, are the best first three seasons of anything I've ever watched in my life. This is one big slow build-up to something that I thought would be the end of the show, and I saw it, and when it happened, I was like, they're not going to be able to top this. And I didn't watch seasons 4 and 5 for a month. Like, I was like, I'm scared, I'm not going to, they can't continue this. And they didn't, to the point where the show just took this weird, huge, it's the most precipitous writing drop-off I had ever experienced in anything I'd ever continuously watched.
Wow.
It's weird. It's like a team starting out 41-0 and then losing the next 41 games and not making the playoffs. An absolutely unprecedented turn of events. And as a result, I'm traumatized. Like, I keep wanting to watch season 3 of Walking Dead because I'm a year late and I'm proud of it. And I can't. I keep hitting play and I keep hitting stop.
Wow, that's weird too, because season 3 of Walking Dead actually steps it up from season 2.
Yeah, I'm
you know what I mean?
People keep telling me, but I may need to have like a
season 3 is where it kind of finds its own. And tell you the truth, I am excited about season 4. Matter of fact,
Sunday.
sidebar. I think that we're going to, myself and, Phenom are going to, New York Comic Con this weekend. And I think we'll be able to get into the, premiere. They're going to show us the Walking Dead. It's like 75 years of the Walking Dead or something like that. Something special thing they're doing there. And, we're going to be going to this, premiere. They're going to show us some, special footage from this season, hopefully. So I'm hoping to get some of, get to see some of that shit this weekend. So. Yeah, can't fucking wait, man.
Star Sunday, man. I think it's called, the first episode is called 90 Days Without an Incident, so. And what about Batman Year One, man? I think you say you watched that too, right, Aaron?
Yeah, I watched it. I just, like I said, I was taken aback because my ageism is so aggressive that I saw it as like Year One. I was like, how old is Batman? Fuck this. And then someone sat me down and said, no, this is more like his rookie season. He's not like 18 or anything. This is his rookie season. I was like, oh.
Yeah, Batman Year One to me is actually more of Commissioner Gordon's origin story than Batman's.
Yeah.
Like it's very, and I liked it because it establishes him as kind of a badass. And I think in a lot of, later Batman stories, Commissioner Gordon is almost like Batman's wife, you know, where it's just like, a guy who needs to talk every once in a while, get in Batman's head, see what he's up to. And he always needs help, from Batman all the time. It's never like, they don't always establish him as this other dude who's a badass motherfucker who pretty much helped, stop the corruption in the Gotham Police Department. And eventually rose to be the head of the PD, you know?
Yep. That's one of the things I always say. It's one of the things we forget. Anyone that Batman associates with can probably kill people.
Yeah. Right.
Batman doesn't really associate with you if you can't defend. I don't think he really does hang out with anybody who can't do anything.
We always make fun of Robin, but people got to realize Robin will kick your ass. With that fucking fruity ass costume,
dude.
Yeah. He ain't got no pants on. He's 13. He will break both your legs.
The one where I think it's Jason Todd is the one who gets killed. Mm-hmm. When they start, because I go back, I read a lot of old Batman comic books lately. The one where they start the mission that leads to him starting to like find clues and want to wonder about finding his mom. Batman is spending the whole comic book telling him to tone it down because he is just beating the shit out of people.
Right. I remember that. No,
yeah.
Right.
Like the whole like first two issues of that arc is just Batman being like, God damn, man, chill out. Like, you know, he's like, look, man, you trained me for this and, we gotta get in here and get these criminals. He's like, maybe you should take a break.
Robert turned into Carl Jr., yo.
Yeah.
Like, freaking look at that Carl Jr. like, hey, man, listen, you gotta tone it down. No, Dad, no.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta be like this. Like, damn, I created a fucking monster. God damn it.
As for me, man, I've been watching the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've been a member of this podcast, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cast. And, you can find it on iTunes and Stitcher and all this stuff. It's been fun breaking down the episodes. It's only two episodes in, so I have to caution everybody to calm down a little bit. Just calm down just a little bit. Gotta let it grow. Okay, we're gonna let it grow a little bit. Let's let it get 5-6 episodes in before we start saying it's not enough cameos. Where's Tony Stark? When are they gonna, bring in, Ultron? Let's calm down. Let's let it grow. Let's see what they can do, guys. It's gonna be okay.
I feel like new superhero, anything, when you go to see it, you should be able to get some free depressants before you watch. Like from anywhere. Just from some place in the United States should fund it. Like if you go to see The Avengers 2 before you go into the theater, you should be issued a depressant. Not a huge one, just a mild one to mellow you out.
Just mellow out. It's fine. It's gonna grow. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be okay, guys. But, yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, it is really cool, cause I've never done one of these, like, podcasts where you break down a show. Even though I live tweet a bunch of stuff, I watch a bunch of shows. But it's kinda cool being like, oh, well, this, you know, I wonder if they're gonna do something with that. And then seeing stuff come to pass, cause I was, you know, I was like, I would be good with this show if they just sneak in a couple cameos. Like, just, related back to the movies a little bit, and I'm cool. And they've done such a good job with that. I mean, we get Sam Jackson the second episode in. Pretty much every episode harkens back to at least a couple things that happened in the Marvel movies, which lets you know it's kind of officially part of the universe. So I'm just hoping that the show does well. I'm hoping that it continues to get better and that it grows on people, because I like good science fiction superhero shit on TV.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it hit me after watching the second episode, because like the second episode kind of started kind of slow for me, but after a while, I was like, man. And like the two characters have really grown on me, and this is what I came with my sci-fi thing, Fitz and Simmons, because a lot of people don't like them, and I was like, but I don't know what it is about them. And I started hearing them talk, and I was like, fuck, it reminds me of Star Trek. It's a bunch of fucking sci-fi techie shit that they're saying, and they're so geeky and nerdy about it, and they can't talk to regular people, and they can't explain it in English, and I'm like, oh my god, this is Josh Whedon has made a fucking sci-fi show and put it on network TV and has tricked people into fucking watching it.
Yes.
It's like, and I'm like, and that's why I'm so afraid of it, because I'm like, when people start realizing it's sci-fi, like that, I said the other day, I feel like it's on the wrong network, because I feel like if it was on like the sci-fi network, it might not have as big of a following, but I think it would last longer, because sci-fi has some of those tech shows that are really good, tech series that are really good, and it just feels like that kind of stuff. It doesn't feel like they're marketing it as a TV drama, and I'm like, I don't feel like this is a TV drama. I feel like this is just a sci-fi tech show, but you guys don't want to say sci-fi because you're afraid of, it's like when you call somebody a nerd, and they're like, whoa, I don't want to be a nerd.
Right.
It's like when we call Karen a nerd, she's like, whoa, I don't call me the nerd. It's like, I feel like that's what it is, like calling something a sci-fi show, because I think we have a weird view of sci-fi now. Like, people call Sleepy Hollow sci-fi, and I'm like, that's not sci-fi. Mm-hmm. That's TV dramas, supernatural, but it's not sci-fi. This is sci-fi techie shit. You know, it's that nerd shit that it used to be like with Star Trek, that had that cult following behind it because it was so nerdy and techie. That's what this is to me. And I was like, I really hope it lasts, because I really enjoy it, man.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it a lot too, to start off. And the character's grown on me has been Melinda May. She's a beast, man.
Yeah.
Like, They gave her a couple more action scenes. Like, I'm so down with her.
Oh yeah.
Like, she just shows, even in the first episode where she technically gets her ass whooped by Gunn, she was just annoyed with that ass whooping. Like, they cut back to her and she's like, motherfucker, I told y'all I didn't want to be part of this shit. What? And y'all got me fighting motherfuckers in the middle of the street.
Well, see, that's the thing that I don't think people get about this show. It's slow on character development, because each of the characters has their own thing about them that you want to know more about.
Right.
It's like, why is she called the Cavalry, and why is she so against combat right now?
Yeah.
What's going on with Coulson? Even with Sky. Sky grew on me a little bit more in the second episode. She wasn't as annoying, and here's why. Because what I picked up on Sky was, it's like, she doesn't fit with the team. Like, everybody's saying Sky doesn't fit, right? That's what everybody who complained about the show says.
And it's designed to be that way, and they tell you that in the show. Like, when Sam Jackson even hits you with the, you know, you can't trust her, right? Like, that's the whole point. And you know that that's going to lead somewhere down the line where it's going to be a huge misdirection. Right. And she's not going to be as bad as people think. And she's actually going to be one of the good guys. Because, you know, they're pointing suspicion towards her, which is just a traditional TV trope.
Right. And which is why I don't get when people say that. I'm like, yeah, she doesn't fit. But that's the point. Because they keep mentioning it in the show that she doesn't fit.
Right.
It'd be something different if she didn't fit in the show and everybody was acting like she fit. No, they don't trust her. Like, Ward does not trust her. Nobody else in S.H.I.E.L.D. trusts her. Coulson does. So my thing is, why does Coulson want her on the team? Does he know something about her? What? Like, to me, these are the things in the show that I pick up on that I'm seeing everybody else complaining about. And I'm like, are you just not watching the show?
Because the depressants.
Yeah, they need the depressants. And anytime you're two episodes in and people are already like, why are they doing this? It's like, I don't know. Why were they doing anything in a second episode of any show? Yeah, like, obviously it's going to lead to something, or else they wouldn't be fucking putting it out there.
I saw somebody say second episode in, why don't they go to Wakanda or like the Savage Land? I'm like, dude, it's two episodes in the first.
That's what I mean, dude. I think when they see the Marvel over whatever, they just start violently shaking and blurting out things that they want to see at them. I'm like, oh, Wakanda! Wait, Iron Man! Where is Iron Man? There's something wrong. Like, they're not capable of just looking forward and seeing the Marvel over it and being like, this is going to be something I'll have to absorb. Especially Joss Whedon. He slow burns everything. He doesn't care. He's Joss Whedon. He's got the time.
I remember trying to
he'll make us wait 20 episodes for something.
Yep. Like, I think people, I was talking about this with Kev, and I was like, people forget, like, Buffy and Angel started off kind of lighthearted, and by the end of those runs, those shows became so goddamn dark and depressing. Holy goddamn shit.
The first season of Buffy is pretty much paint by numbers monster of the week.
Right.
You know, and it's all representing like different things. Like in high school, some people feel like they don't fit in and they just start to disappear. Like, it's like, look, this girl is disappearing. So like, there's that type of like, that's how you kind of get people roped in. And that's how you learn about the characters through their relationships with all these different incidents. But also, it's episode two. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure, cause like somebody on, I forget who it was, but someone on, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cast, they were talking and they were like, well, you know, what I think it is I don't understand these guys' relationships with each other. And I was like, well, they're just starting the relationships. So it's not like they're an established group. And they're like, yeah, I get that. But you know, I feel like it's taking too long. I was like, we're only two episodes in. I was like, maybe if they just put them all in high school. And they were hanging out together and they started fighting monsters. And you know, like, come on, man, we gotta, you know, you gotta let the show grow. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris.
No, I was gonna say that, but that's something I said, I think even before Agent Show came out, that I think we've reached a point where, because of social media and things like that, that I don't think we give TV shows enough time to grow. And I've admitted in the past that I've been that kind of person too. We don't give TV shows enough time to grow into something. Like, there's sometimes a show comes out and you're just like, okay, this is just bad. All right. But we don't, I mean, it was one episode in and people are like, this is boring. Oh, I can't watch this. I'm like, it's one episode. It's like, you can't even give it the standard half a season to see where they're going with this stuff before you start going that I don't understand this character development. It's like, it's episode one. You know,
I feel like people watch the show. I feel like people take in media now so they can say they're bored with media.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like that's what they it's right in line with the people who beat Grand Theft Auto in 10 hours and were like, this game is too short.
Right. Mm. It's like people watch TV to live tweet it. They don't watch it to actually watch it. You know, it's an unfortunate part of our culture, which is, again, one of my biggest fears that I have with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. It's not what the show is doing. It's just how we as an audience will be able to, are we going to accept this, or are we going to do like what happens in most Joss Whedon shows that get canceled too early, is we watch it, we say, oh, it sucks, it's not good, and then 2 or 3 years later, we start wondering, damn, why did they ever cancel that show? It was really good.
Another show I've been watching, which actually reminds me a lot of Joss Whedon and Buffy, Sleepy Hollow. And I like it. It's good, wholesome corniness. But it's got the whole, you know, like supernatural monsters of the week type of feel to it. It does have a black female, like that's the thing. People keep saying she's like a lead protagonist. And some people even compared this to like Scandal and saying like, well, you know, move over Kerry Washington. No. She's like half of the protagonist on the show. It's way more hokey as far as like, I don't expect this to necessarily have the mainstream appeal that, even a show like Scandal, even the niche appeal that a show like Scandal would have. But, it's so good to me, man. Like, and it's very funny, which you need if you're gonna be talking about silly shit like Headless Horsemen and, you know, witches and stuff like that. The other thing too is that it doesn't really, they hook you in with the Headless Horseman type of angle, but it really is more of a show about Sleepy Hollow and almost like American mythology of ghost stories and witches and, you know, shit like that more so than anything else. And the scope of the show grows beyond just the Headless Horseman story that we know and love. So
I think, you know, I've been hearing good things about that show. I need to go and try to go back and watch it. What got me was I just want to see, and I, this is why I'm probably going to watch it after the first season comes out. Cause I just need to, it's one of these things where these concepts comes out like this. I'm like, eventually what happens when you no longer have the Headless Horseman? Are you just going to make it about the Sleepy Hollow town? Mm-hmm. Cause I know they've done that with other shows. I'm like, if they do that, then I might be in this. So I'm gonna wait until the whole season comes out, and then I'll probably try to do like I did with everything else. Like, I just feel better for some of these shows to watch the entire season.
Cause yeah.
Truth of the matter, sometimes I hate doing
it. Well, I know it's got a 13 episode for sure commitment.
Cool. That's great.
And so then, so we should get, you know, and then also they pretty much do away. And by do away, I don't mean they kill them, but they kind of let the Headless Horseman storyline go after like an episode.
Okay, cool. That's
like,
cool.
It's just kind of like a cool, like, rope you in moment where you're like, oh shit, this is like the Terminator on a horse. And then after that, it's like, all right, but there's also 100 other fucking crazy things going on here. So
I think this is another one of those things where it's like marketing kind of killed them for me. It's like all they did with the Sleepy Hollow marketing was make it seem like it was about the Headless Horseman. And I was just like, that's fucking stupid.
Right.
And I'm just like, that's, but after hearing you talk about it, hearing other people talk about it, I'm like, oh, there's a lot more going on here than just the fucking Headless Horseman. You know, packing like he's in fucking GTA, which I saw those commercials and I was just like, no goddamn way I want to see this show.
The other thing that kills it though, if I kill it, I mean, like every time I watch it, I can't get over. In the intro, there's this, the first episode, there's this really funny joke about slavery where, the Ichabod Crane apparently was like dead or resting for 250 years. And now he's like basically flash forwarded to the future. And he's trying to deal with all these future concepts and shit. But there's a joke where, cause the show's pretty funny, where he's in a cage and of course Abby's the sheriff and she, or one of the, police officers, and she's like, you know, we'll have to, let you out or whatever. And he's like, how did you, get out of captivity? Like, he was just like this, he was just basically like, congratulations for not being, she was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know, enslavement. It was just like a really funny moment. The very last episode I started watching, before we actually started the show, and there's like, you know how shows will start and they're doing like a montage of like the past moments and the person's giving a recap of their history. And so it was Ichabod Crane doing the narration. And it's like, you know, and at that moment we were betrayed and I found myself surviving death not for only the first time. And that is the difference between two great souls that love each other. And there's like a montage of him and his old wife and all this stuff. And so then they kind of pan out and they show him sitting in a car. And he's still talking, you know what I mean? So it's like, what? Like, who? What the fuck? Like, is he talking to himself? And then you hear another voice and it's like, oh my, that is such a sweet story. And he's like, that's right. Well, I'm glad I was able to assist you. She's like, oh, and I'm glad we were able to assist you. Thank you for calling North Star to unlock the car. And he was like, you too. Have a good day, Yolanda. Dude, I was dying. Like, okay, this show kind of gets it. Like, this is some silly shit and they're not gonna try to be like super duper serious about it, so I can watch it. If it would have taken it very seriously, I think I might not have watched it.
Right. Well, again, it's just the way they marketed it before. I was like, this seems fucking stupid, but
yeah,
you explain it, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get that shit.
There's no jokes in the previews.
Right.
Like, I noticed that too. I almost didn't watch it. Actually, shout out to my girl Patrice. She's the one who told me to watch it. She was like, you should probably check this out if you like Buffy. And I was like, this shit looks terrible. She's like, nope, just check it out. Give it a shot. And I did. And I was like, oh, this shit is actually funny. Let's see what else.
What do you think about, what's that new show Colonel, with Carl Urban?
I was just going to say two shows that I look forward to. Arrow returns tomorrow. Your DVR might not catch it, guys. If you've been watching season one and you're waiting for it to catch season two, they have moved the showtime to 7 p.m., which is very, very early. But I guess they want to avoid the late night primetime shows. I guess this is happening more and more because even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is an 8 o'clock show. So just to let you guys know, it's 7 now. Also, Chris was talking about going back and watching shows. Don't forget, everybody, man, I know you probably know, but I'm just reminding you guys because I forget. If you have cable, you probably have on demand. And a lot of these TV, networks now are putting their shit on demand and you can't fast forward through commercials, but they don't have a lot of commercials. Right. So if you want to, it's a good way to catch up. That's how I caught up with, Family Guy and Bob's Burgers today. I felt so stupid because I was just like, oh, wait a minute. They probably just have it out there for me to go watch. Like, why wouldn't Fox want me to watch it? And there's only commercials for Fox shit, and I can't fast forward. They probably love it. So yeah, make sure you guys watch On Demand. But Arrow returns tomorrow. Almost Human is the show that Chris is talking about. It has Carl Urban, and the pretty light skinned dude from Barbershop. I forget his name.
Right, I can't remember his name either.
Yeah. But it looks like pretty light skinned dude, some type of like android or fake, you know, like human cyborg or some shit. And Carl Urban, some type of cop. And, they go around doing future shit. It comes on Fox, and this is, something I wanted to, I'm glad you guys both are on for, cause I was thinking about this. Are people too hard on Fox and their sci-fi because they canceled, essentially, they canceled Firefly, mm-hmm. which is really the huge knock against them. Is like, hey, you guys fucked up, Dollhouse, you fucked up Firefly, you fucked up two Joss Whedon shows. But I think people might be too hard on them, man, because even with Fringe falling off, they stuck with that shit to the bitter end.
Right.
Terra Nova seems more like it was a fail because of budgeting.
Yeah, that was just, yeah, that, I tried to get Terra Nova a shot, and it wasn't, they put too much into that first, that pilot.
Yeah.
They had no money left over for anything else, and they didn't know what they were going to do with their story.
That was the first thing I observed about the show. I was like, this isn't sustainable for a whole network season.
Right. Yeah. No. That's actually one of the things I liked about the S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot, was that it wasn't so techie where you're like, and let me guess, next week the episode is in an elevator, because y'all motherfuckers can't afford to do anything else. So I kind of like that, you know, when you see shows take an approach where like, let's spread out a little special effects through every episode. You know, Heroes did that too one year where they had the big ass like Siler blowout episode. And then you're like, and now what? Because y'all don't have money for this shit every week. But yeah, I think that Fox gets a bad rep, man, because, you know, obviously X-Files, and then people were saying like they're not loyal to shows, but you know, this is the same people that brought you know, Animation Domination. Like, they brought Family Guy back and then spread it out to two more shows, gave the McFarlanes two more shows. They've been loyal to Bob's Burgers, which is an extremely funny show that a lot of people weren't watching, but they believed in the material, so it brought it back for another season. And they're actually getting a season after this. I just read before we started the show. They also, The Simpsons have been on the air for 26 years.
Right.
There can't possibly be a show longer running than that. Like, you know, as far as, you know, episodic show. So, you know, I think maybe people are a little too hard. Even Sarah Connor Chronicles was a show that a lot of people weren't watching that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then people get mad because they're like, well, why didn't they just keep it going? It's like, I mean, is 26 episodes not enough when people aren't watching it?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I think people might be a little too harsh on Fox. What do you guys think?
I think Fox does get too much hate for it, but because I think that I have that feeling for all of network TV. Because most of my favorite shows that I watch consistently aren't really on network TV. I mean, outside of the animation stuff, a lot of the stuff I like watching are usually the cable on cable in some places. And so I'm definitely afraid when a show I like is on network TV and it's not like the other shows. So,
right.
You know, police procedurals and shit like that, those kind of drama shows. So when it's something like, you know, you get something like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or you get something like this Almost Human show, or, you know, they're Sleepy Hollow and they're talking about doing a Gotham. It's like, I'm getting nervous, but the thing that also is giving me more hope now is that because these show, the movies and things like that are becoming more popular, I think, and this is what Kev was kind of telling me about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., why I shouldn't be worried, is that because these movies are getting more popular and some of these TV shows are getting more popular on cable, that maybe network TV has now gotten to the point where they feel they can take more chances on these kinds of shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing to kind of try to ease back my automatic hate of, oh, that's going to automatically get canceled, and give it a wait and see. Cause I think that we're seeing a lot of different kinds of shows. I mean, I watched that, I think it was last night, I saw the promo for Almost Human, and I've heard about this show. Mm-hmm. And I saw I was like, is this coming on network TV?
Right, yeah, me too. I was like, I was watching, Family Guy on demand. And I was like, I forgot for a second that it was not like regular TV. Mm-hmm. And so the commercial for Almost Human came on, and I was like, wait, this is only Fox commercials. So that means something Fox related. That show is coming on Fox. That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's like, I think that with them trying to do this, yeah, some of our favorite shows, some of the shows we like that we want to see give more are going to get canceled.
Right.
But I am willing to go with the flow right now because I think we're seeing them take more chances than what they normally take.
Yeah, as long as it's not the network's fault, I'm okay because we wouldn't have even got a shot at some of these shows. And if they put out a quality product, I'm right. Fine. I only care about the quality because it's like, okay, at least they gave it a real shot. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, you know, if they half-assed it and you're just like, wow, these guys really put this show on Friday at 11 p.m. Like, okay, I see. Fox, I mean,
they're getting them primetime slots. And let's be real about Firefly. People like it. It's got a cult following. But it got really bad numbers, I believe, when it came out. It just wasn't doing the numbers. So, yeah, I know people really like that show, and it's got a cult following now, but I don't believe that it was doing big enough numbers to justify it staying there. And I think it was a little bit before its time. So, you know, I don't know, man. I think network execs are seeing something in this demographic that they can reach now with these shows because, let's be honest, we've had things like how many Law and Orders and NCIS's and all these other shows and stuff like that. We've seen these kind of shows over and over again. I mean, we now have Ironside. You got fucking, what's his name? Blair Underwood playing, playing Wheels. From Wheels and the Leg Man.
Right.
He's basically playing Wheels. And he's a police officer.
It's just a twist on a procedural cop show. And a lot of these shows have become that now, where it's just everything's a twist on. Well, it's a procedural cop show, except when he falls asleep, he dreams about being a cop. And when he wakes up, he is a cop. You're like, okay, man, come on.
Right. So it's like, I'm willing to say that I think that they see things and they're willing to give it more chances. Like I said, I mean, I think they see things like Arrow getting a second season and doing really well and like, well, why can't we tap into the market? They see Avengers doing $1 billion and saying, wow, we should be able to tap into that fucking market on TV. Can you imagine?
Also, man, they see AMC. They see, like Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, like Dexter, Boardwalk Empire. They see these shows that actually don't have the numbers they have.
Mm-hmm.
For even their like, you know, mediocre shows, but they have a dedicated audience that grew with the show.
Right.
So it's like, there's money attached to that. Aaron, I don't know if you had anything to say about this or not.
I while you guys were talking, I just looked through unmute the trailer for Almost Human and I was like, this is going to be on Showtime.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about here.
And listen,
when that Fox logo pops up, I'm like, huh.
By the way, I want to watch this program. What day did this come out?
Right.
I said this during my Star Trek Into Darkness review, but Carl Urban is an underrated actor. I don't think we give him enough credit. When that man does some shit, he's all in.
Dude, so, I thought it was a movie, to be honest. I was like, oh, is this something to do with that RoboCop or like is this like RoboCop's nemesis or something? Because then they show Carl Urban. I'm like, but he'll do TV. Like I didn't think he would do TV anymore because he can officially be like, I made it at this point. And he's like, no, I want to do this. And you can tell he's not fucking around. So, all right.
Look at it looks like iRobot, but like with like an android. And like a human, and it's like fucking awesome with Carl Urban. Like I'm in. Like mm-hmm. I want to see this fucking show. Like yes,
thoughtful.
Yeah,
it looks thoughtful. That's the more best way to put it. I like whatever they're pushing, whatever this idea they're pushing. I kind of want to see where they go with it.
Only thing that could like really to me, everybody was like, I'm scared because it's on Fox. Only thing that scares me is light skinned dude is not necessarily the strongest actor. So
right.
But hopefully him being a robot can like make that make sense.
It may put them on rails.
Right. Oh. It's like I can't express all ranges of emotion. It's like, cool. Oh,
okay. You're right.
Yeah, that's how we want you to play it. That's why we cast you. Right. All right, man. What I've been playing, Grand Theft Auto, obviously, but I also played a little bit of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game that came out on Xbox Live. It's very clunky and hard for me to understand. Am I supposed to play it with three other people or something? Because
it's one of those games, like I don't know what to call them, but it's a co-op. When you play a co-op game, and they just have, when you're by yourself, you just have three AI dudes putzing around the screen doing stupid stuff, and it breaks the immersion, and I don't know what to call those, but yeah, it's very awkward that way. They're like, hey, you got three extra, it's all the time. You got three extra guys? How about now?
Right. It's real, and like, it'll be like, you can switch between your guys, but every time I switch to one of my guys, he's standing there getting beat to death by a foot ninja. Every time. Like, they're not fight, they don't even fight back. Like, they just sit there and like, I get hit in the head, and I get hit in the head, and I'm dead.
You should just put waiting for quarters.
Right. Can you give me some pizza so I can be alive and stand here and die? Like, no. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not really a fan.
It played well. It plays okay. I mean, considering some of the nonsense that they've been putting out under the Ninja Turtles heading for a few years, it played reasonably well. Not as bad as I thought it would be. Well, it's not solid. And it should be 99 cents.
Right.
For some reason, on the Xbox Live Arcade, they keep putting out 99 cent phone games for $15 to $20. And I don't know what they're trying to accomplish with that.
Yeah, I will say this. I really enjoyed the TMNT game that came out like 4 years ago when that CGI movie for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out. That shit was fun. And it was a big ass achievement horror, game, cause it just gave you achievements for everything. Like, it was just like, you jumped. Here's 5 points.
Oh. You slimed in today. Awesome, dude.
First block, 50 points. But it actually was fun. And you do a lot of platforming and shit like that. But yeah, my personal recommendation, skip this shit, because I don't want any. I paid for it. You shouldn't have to. And any game where you constantly need three friends.
You bought it?
Yeah, I bought it. Yeah.
If you bought it, then I get it. The only reason I don't have it is because it's very clear. The game is very, very clear that you need a working nuclear family to play this game comfortably.
Yeah, it's too much.
You're just by yourself. That's the reason I was like, if I could confirm two or three people buying it, I'd get it. I like the game. It's interesting.
Yeah, the fighting mechanics were fine. The like boosting power up things, the special moves. But then, like I said, I switch over to like Donatello. He's just sitting in the corner, like, ouch, ouch, ouch. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
You guys have shells. You guys are getting punched in it by Chinese hoodlums. And you guys just like nothing. Just like no response.
They have a really cool moment too, where you like, where it's like to stealth attack this person, you hit this button and you sneak up on them, right? And so you go into stealth, all your boys go into stealth, and you really do feel like a clan of ninjas taking down like six people at the same time.
Yep.
Next time you try stealth, your dudes just creep right into the light. I'm like, what the fuck, man? It's like, hey, there they are. Like, this is bullshit, man. All right, we got a bunch of news articles. Let's talk about them. Number one, Man of Steel writer David Goyer. And, you know, very controversial movie, Man of Steel, amongst nerdery. He believes Superman should be able to kill.
Welcome to the 21st century, people.
Thank you.
You know, for spoiler alert for Man of Steel, he kills a dude. He kills Zod at the end. But it caused a bunch of controversy. A lot of people like, Superman would never kill. He has no killing policy. He's not cool with that.
Well, I think that's a good ceiling to put on the character. Like, say, if two Kryptonians fight, or say they introduce Captain Marvel or they introduce Darkseid, the only way that fight's going to end is if someone kills someone, because they're essentially of equal power. Someone needs to go over the edge and snap someone's neck to end that battle. That's just the way some fights are like that.
And the thing that always bothered me about people's complaints about this is that it's not like it was done lightly. It's not like it was just done. And he did it and was like, yep, snap Zod's neck. Now I'm going to go have me some pizza. It's like, he did it and it was like,
Yeah,
it was traumatizing to him. You know, it was a traumatizing thing.
Yeah, the movie almost ends on a down note because he kills him, cries, hugs Lois Lane that she would have hit him cry.
Right.
And then they go to credits, and a couple minutes later, they're like, he's Clark Kent now, y'all. And you're like, I don't know. Still feels like this doesn't make everything okay. Like, still kind of sad. He's still.
Ended, by the way, they ended that movie on fast forward. They ended that movie like somebody was late for brunch.
They really did.
They were, somebody was late for something. They like, all right, is he snapped his neck? He's dead? He's crying? Is he okay? Okay, and he's Clark Kent. All right, I gotta get going. You guys got the rest of this?
They all really right. didn't have time for like closure.
Right.
Like there wasn't gonna be any rebuilding of Metropolis.
The thing is, I wouldn't have minded if they just ended the movie with him sitting there having killed Zod. Real talk.
Me too.
Real talk. That he destroyed a city and killed a dude for the first time in his life when he swore he wasn't and didn't do nothing like that.
It's that thing they do though, where every superhero movie has to end with something after the credits.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently that you
it
can't
wasn't after credits though. It wasn't after credits. Like it did keep going. Like he goes. They had the thing with the army was trying to find him with their drone, and then they did the whole thing where he's going into thing. But no, you're right. I mean, I think they could have ended it there. But I think nerds would have been even more mad then.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like it was a powerful scene because. You know, first of all, the whole Superman doesn't kill thing, bullshit. He has killed in the comics before. He has. Fucking, he killed, they technically killed Zod in the first goddamn movie. You know, that they did with Superman, Superman 2?
Yeah.
With the Kryptonians? He technically killed Zod in that movie then. So it's like, this whole Superman doesn't kill shit. Again, people just complaining to complain.
Also, like, one of his biggest outs in the comic books is sometimes he'll just lobotomize somebody with his eye vision. Just kill me, dog. Just I'd rather die.
Right. Like, that's the most, he doesn't kill, he just lobotomizes you so that you're a fucking vegetable for the rest of your goddamn life.
Cruel as fuck. Yeah, just punch my head off, please.
Sorry. Right. Dude's just sitting there, like, slobbing out his mouth, like, I'm like, nope, kill me. Don't want to live that life.
People need to admit that they wanted lame ass Superman and they weren't ready to get a non lame Superman.
They recasted Superman as Destroyer. That's a perfectly fine Superman to have if you're going to have him at the top of the Justice League food chain. Right. Is the fact that Superman will crush everyone.
Yeah, it kind of also like with all this continuality and continuity and all these different mediums at this point. Everything is kind of up to what are you going to do with it. You know what I mean? So I said the same thing at the end of Amazing Spider-Man. Like some people were shitting on it and like, well, they didn't tackle this issue. What about that? And I'm like, do you think they won't have a sequel? It's like, well, obviously they're going to have a sequel, probably be a trilogy. Then far be it from me to say I'm going to withhold my judgment until I see how it's tackled in movie 2.
But even then, so like the whole, you know, the destruction and they didn't address the destruction and he killed and stuff like that. I'm like, well, does them making it seem like Batman's going to be in the second movie kind of address some of that concern? Because now, guess who's going to be pissed that his satellite and half of Metropolis were destroyed? Batman.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
The whole dynamic between Batman and Justice League is Batman doesn't trust the superheroes.
Right.
So it's like, they're saying, like, what kills me about things like that, it's like when people complain about, well, Scott doesn't fit in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's like, you're not even watching the movie, or you're not even thinking about this shit. It didn't occur to you that, yeah, they did that shit on purpose?
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We have to have, at this point, the movie franchises and comic book franchises are so incestuous, we do need to start considering the idea that something doesn't get addressed in, say, movie 1 probably means it carries over as part of the plot of movie 2. Like, until we see them start dropping shit. Like, until we get to the point, like, even if you think about it, one of the reasons Iron Man 3 is, deeper than people give it credit for is because it's really just a reaction to Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the entire movie is just, Tony Stark saw some crazy shit and he died, y'all. Like, that's pretty much the whole movie is, but it's, you know, it's kind of like that thing where it's like, you have to allow for these things to carry over. Here's his actual quote. He said, we were pretty sure that was going to be controversial. It's not like we were deluding ourselves. and we weren't just doing it to be cool. We felt in the case of Zod, we wanted to put the character in an impossible situation and make an impossible choice. This is one area, and I've written comic books as well, and this is where I disagree with some of my fellow comic book writers. Superman doesn't kill. It's, oh, by the way, I guarantee Batman won't have anything to say about him killing Zod. It's a rule that exists outside of the narrative, and I just don't believe in rules like that. I believe when you're writing film or television, you can't rely on a crutch or a rule that exists outside the narrative of the film. So the situation was, Zod says, I'm not going to stop until you kill me or I kill you. The reality is, no prison on the planet can hold him. And in our film, Superman can't fly to the moon. We didn't want to come up with that crutch. Also, our movie was, in a way, Superman Begins. He's not really Superman until the end of the film. We wanted him to have had that experience of taking a life and carry that through into the next films, because he's Superman, and because people idolize him, he will have to hold himself to a higher standard. Thank you. Thank you. That's all. They didn't do it haphazardly, guys. They were thinking about it.
I don't even understand it. It just seems to be the nature of fighting. When you get into a fight, there are certain things that will end the fight. Because we're human, you have to scale it. If you're in front of a bar, you have to knock the person unconscious. If the person's bigger and angrier than you and hopped up on drugs, you may have to literally badly injure this person. Right. But if you're Kryptonian and you're not capable of knocking, they can't knock each other out, they'll fight forever.
Right.
How does the fight end if you can't, cops are not going to come and tase them in the back. It's not an episode of Cops or nothing.
Right.
Their fight went from ground level Metropolis to low orbit.
Right.
It's like, well, Superman doesn't kill. Their fight went from ground level, like, that was their battlefield, from the Earth on pavement to low orbit.
Yeah. Nigga,
like, killing him might have to fucking happen.
There weren't a lot of options.
Right. Well, you know what? One thing that I liked about his response here, and this is something else I pointed out in Iron Man 3, with the Mandarin decision, that I'm really liking what they're doing with this stuff is, and it's a different thing, a different approach than what Fox does. Fox does things, they change things from the comic books, and they just said, we're going to do it because you're going to be just like the comic book, and they try to fake you out with that. What they did with the Mandarin, and what it sounds like they did with Superman here, is they went in knowing that, listen, we know that some of the fans, the hardcore fans, are not going to like this, but we feel that this is a better way of telling for the story we're trying to tell, and we're going to do it anyway. And they even explained that with the Mandarin. They were like, we did this. We weren't going to put the Mandarin in the film at all. And they brought us this idea, and we were like, you know what? I like it. Let's go with this. It's controversial, but we're going to do it anyway. I like the fact that they're doing that. There's going to be times where I don't agree with what they do in that, but I like the fact that these studios and these writers and directors are, one, knowing that they know enough about the material that they know that it could make fans upset, but then they're saying that, listen, we understand you're going to be upset, but for the story we're trying to tell, we think this could be better. A better fit for the story. And I like that. I like the fact that they're basically saying that we hear your complaints. We know you're going to be mad. We're going to do it anyway, but we at least acknowledge that it is different from what you're expecting us to really do. I like that.
Yeah, me too, man. Like, all I care about is that you put thought into your product. Comic book fans are very finicky, and they start idolizing the things we grew up with, and they forget that there's 17 different versions of Batman. There's, like, many different people have written his origin. Many different people have, you know, told us how Superman is going to operate at this point in time, at that point in time. And movies are no different. It's just one guy going, here's what I like the most about this character. Here's my interpretation of him. Awesome. And we need to allow for that type of creativity. If you don't like it, that's fine. It's easy to walk away. But let's not pretend like, oh, he got it wrong because there's only one way to do it. No, there's 100 ways to do this shit. Right. And that's why they're so interesting, is because you can tell Spider-Man's origin 5 different times and there'll be 5 different, you know, ways that people, you know, put the story together.
Right. That argument about Amazing Spider-Man. Well, we don't need to know the origin story again. Well, they tell the origin story like every few years anyway in Spider-Man comic books. So why the fuck can't the movies do it?
Yeah.
Listen, why can't, if Superman, the point of the movie, that's what the whole hour and a half long fight scene did, proved that Superman is invincible. His flaws are mental.
Right.
So he has to do something, there has to be certain things that happen to go wrong for him to have mental flaws for him to be able to even be someone to even be able to interact with him.
Yeah, during our Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Review, one of the things I brought up was I want to see the character start making mistakes. And the people on the show were kind of like, why? You know, like, that's not good. We want the character. We just want to learn more about him. I was like, how do you learn more about someone other than, like, them making a mistake? That's when you learn the most. And it's the best writing. It's, you know, like I was saying, Sky and Agent Ward should hook up. And they were like, well, she's a rat and he doesn't trust her. And I was like, right, it'll make it better. Like, now we have something where we're like, oh, is he compromised? Does she not trust him? Do they still have trust issues? Will she now sacrifice her mission? Like, stuff like that doesn't happen if you just go, hi, I'll shake your hand. We're keeping it professional. And let's just go about our business. No, you need people to get sloppy, and Superman got sloppy. So we're going to find more about his character in the upcoming movies. Speaking of developing characters, the CW network, and this made me so nervous when I read it. I'm just trying to stay positive, though. Go to watch it tonight, and tomorrow, and keep it positive. But they're going to give Arrow some superpowers next season.
Well, they're going to get Arrow or they're going to bring superheroes into the show.
Says they will give Arrow superpowers for second season. Arrow is DC comic character Green Arrow, blah, 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 introduced in 1941. To differentiate the TV hero from the comic book character, the series splits its time between Arrow and his alter ego. Yeah, I already know all this shit. Rather than rely on superheroes, the show's first season feature high-octane fight scenes and high-tech weaponry. By the way, I cannot give them more props for that, because when I watched the show, I would live tweet it and be like, the only thing I'm missing is, like, where's his weapons? Because Green Arrow doesn't really just shoot bows and arrows. He has, like, a fucking arsenal of shit that it looks like an arrow, and then it hits you and it tases your face and then puts a net around you, and then the cops come and get you. Like, I was like, and they just started slowly adding the shit by the end where you're like, oh, it's one of those arrows. So that was cool. But we always pitch the show more like Jason Bourne than a comic book, says writer Greg Berlanti, a writer, executive producer, and co-creator of Arrow. But we're changing some of it up this season. This change includes a shift in genre from action adventure series to superhero driven drama. Arrow doesn't want to be a vigilante anymore. He wants to be the hero. Which is also something I was wondering how they're going to address, because unlike every other hero show, guys, Arrow kills motherfuckers, like,
oh yeah,
every week.
Yeah, I saw the first, like, three episodes of this. That's why I was like, I'm sold on Arrow, because it's like, he was actually shooting people with arrows and actually killing people, and the fight scenes were actually pretty good. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, this is a good-ass show.
And it's a thing, too. So it's not even flippant. Like, everyone that works with him is like, dude, the killing, though.
But you know what? That's a great. He is basically, you know, the other Batman.
Yeah,
it is him and that's why in The Dark Knight Returns, like, you know, the one arm Ollie is sitting there talking to Bruce Wayne. They're just trying to, like, you know, they're both assholes. You know, one's retired, one's not, but they're both vigilante assholes with a chip on their shoulder who are rich as fuck. It's just like, yeah, man.
Yeah, they're gonna have Flash in this one. Yeah, this season is going to be in three different episodes. They're also going to have the Black Canary, the Bronze Tiger, and two other DC characters in this season. So I guess they're adding superheroes.
Am I the only person? I have a moral opposition to seeing the Flash just about everywhere I see him for some reason. I feel like his powers are more overpowered than Superman.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The Flash is so theoretically powerful.
Yeah.
In a way, I love the character. But I also hate the character, because there's nothing he can't do, right. And he's just real fast.
Yep. Right. The thing about it, I always say that, like, if in the Justice League movie, like, with my idea where Batman has to find the Justice League, I would arguably write the Flash as being the character he can't find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he can't fathom. The Flash operates. The thing about it, I think the Flash operates more in time than speed. We just can't fathom it. And yeah. I think that he'd be closer to, like, Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen, where he's a little detached. Right. Because for a decade, he's just been seeing nano, milli, tiny seconds. He can watch water.
Well, that's the thing.
Tree, and that type of thing fucks with your reality.
Right. That's the whole thing behind Flashpoint. It's like, this nigga ran back in time, yo. It's like, Like, I remember watching, I remember reading the first, it was a while ago when I was, the only DC comic I used to read was The Flash. And I remember reading the one where Wally West finally realized he could actually, run through objects, phase through objects. And I was just like, yo. Yep. He's so fast, he can move the molecules of his body to, like, I remember they used to bring up things like Wizard Magazine did the DC superheroes versus Marvel superheroes. Some of them are even, but they did Quicksilver versus The Flash, and I was just like, why? Don't do that. Like, yeah. He's like, don't do that. That's not even fair to Quicksilver at right. all, because The Flash is just fucking.
The Flash runs through solid objects.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Son. That, like, I remember the first time I saw that power where it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I just vibrate my molecules until I'm through the, I'm like, yeah, okay, this dude is some type of god.
Like, yo, he's become more overpowered than Wolverine's healing factor. It's like, yeah. to the point where you're just like, how do you beat him?
Right.
That if I introduced the Flash in a movie, I don't think he would be tameable. I think he'd be a force of nature, like the fucking sun. I think he'd be around, like, he would, like, listen to things. But what he does is on his own time, because he's on his own time.
And how would you know until afterwards anyway?
Yep.
You know?
I swear to God, that is my thing. I would have maybe like a red cloud overhead. Maybe.
Right.
And that means the Flash is around, and whatever happens, happened. And whatever you asked for may have happened. It may not have. You won't know.
Right.
Until an hour later, because he's a Flash.
They need to do a Justice League parody movie where it's like 5 seconds. You know, the movie right. starts, Justice League is like, yeah, we need to go and do this, this, and this, and this. And by the time they're done, the Flash is back sipping like a Chick-fil-A milkshake going, yeah, I've already taken care of all that shit now.
Yeah. Like, that's how I feel like Batman's going to be giving orders, and then he's going to, like, be halfway through, and Flash is going to come back like, stop there, Chief. First of all, I already solved that. So don't worry about Darkseid anymore. But yeah. Second of all, I'm a little thirsty, and you haven't got me any water. So, here's 100 things. I'm not reading them all. About Grand Theft Auto 5 that'll blow your mind, for people being like, why do you think this is the greatest game of all time? This is why, little shit like this. Did you guys know that failing at repeating a mission will give you several slightly different versions of the same pre-mission briefing dialogue?
Yes.
Flip-flops actually flop when you wear them?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. These are little things that don't happen in other video games. Mm-hmm. When wading in the water, your clothes get wet. They only get wet to the point what you waded in. So if you don't get fully submerged, and you can tell. If you hail and hop into a taxi at the airport where someone was waiting for one, they'll get mad and shout at you and try to pick a fight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a chance you can walk into a business while another non-playable character is robbing it.
Yep. That happens online too, by the way.
Yeah.
I walked into a store. I walked into a store, and literally there was a guy sticking up the store clerk, and I just literally shot him in the back. I was like, "Excuse me, no, you keep putting the money in the bag, but this guy, the fuck."
Michael will confess to and discuss random events that just happened when visiting his psychiatrist, like sleeping with prostitutes or running over pedestrians.
Yep, I do that. I used to do that all the time. The things he says, if you ever play as Mike, I played more as Franklin because I just wanted to establish some type of economic base for this inner city black dude. Like, yes. I was being a homer. I wanted him to not have to be a gangbanger anymore, so I spent most of my time playing as him. If you play as Mike, he's unhinged as hell. He's
dude.
Up.
Dude, and his family, as fucked up as they are so right. Like, everything they say, like, Dad, you can't just keep being a maniac. I'm like, they're right, though.
Right.
You are fucking crazy, man. They make that tink, tink, tink sound when your car is cooling off, when you get out of car.
Yes, I heard that. I heard that in the game one day. I was like, is that my... Holy shit, man. The detail in this game is fucking ridiculous.
If you talk to a character on the phone and call them right back, they will comment on the conversation they just had with you.
Mm-hmm. I called Trevor and I called him back again. He says, What are you doing?
Yeah. Lamar jokes about Franklin's haircut at the end of an early mission. If you get a haircut, his dialogue changes based on whether or not you had the haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Backfiring cars and like gas trails. There's topless women at Vinewood Mansions sometimes. If you snap pictures of them with your phone, they'll call you a creep and their boyfriends will try to fight you. Let's see what else. If you try to force Trevor to listen to certain music, he'll get angry and change it back to that radio station. I noticed that too. Like, I was like, oh, let me put this shit on the hip hop. Wait a minute. Why am I back on Channel X?
Trevor doesn't like, he doesn't like 2 Chainz specifically. The 2 Chainz song that goes on, he doesn't like that song at all.
Of course, you sweat through your clothes. One of the first things I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple of that. I don't know if they're on this list. They probably are because they got 100 of them. Did you notice that the cursor in the online, on the web on your phone
is middle finger?
Yeah. Yep. And then when you if you start driving down the wrong side of the road, I find this hilarious. Cars will slam on the brake and they'll flash their lights at you like they do, like people do in real life sometimes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And they'll flip you off too.
Yeah. They'll definitely do that.
If you run over Michael's wife, both characters react with unique dialogue. She later sends you an angry bill for her hospital stay.
Yep, that happens when you run over his son. I ran over Jimmy once. I let him out of the car. I just turned and ran him over. And then Michael's, no! And then you get an email. It's like, Dad, listen, I'm a tough guy, but I don't need you putting me in the hospital.
If you try to snap a picture of a street performer without tipping them, they get angry. That's crazy. Sometimes street performers will get calls and break character to answer and talk. Mm-hmm. This shit is beautiful, man. Just
the amount of detail they put into it. Like, I see why it costs so much money for them. The only thing I will say about the online that kind of disappointed me, and I was like, I don't know why they didn't do this. Your character doesn't speak. And I'm like, they really could have given you a voice because they did they did so much other stuff with the game. I'm like, you could have made the same voice characters for everybody else. I mean, like, I'm fine with that. The character should have a voice, though, because it's kind of weird where everybody else is talking and you talk in the regular, in the single player, you get into online, and your character is sitting there as a mute. It's just like, oh, dude, come on.
Michael's wife, Amanda, can be found on the game's fake dating website, Hush Smush. Oh, wow. She was a whore, though. Dome lights turn on when you open up cars.
Did they mention that if you go on shooting rampages in the hood, people on Franklin's Facebook start commenting?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you start just shooting homies in the hood, it's like, Franklin, I saw you on the corner. What are you doing? What the fuck? Literally, what the fuck are you doing? 5 question marks.
Wow. Oh, if you burn rubber in the middle of the street, people pull out their phones and start taking a picture of you.
I thought they only did that when you have a nice car. That's pretty cool.
That's crazy, man. I've noticed if you follow women down the street, they start walking faster and talking shit to you.
No, if you, like, you don't have to actually hit somebody for them to call the cops on you. One time I was pulling the ammunition, and these women, they were out front of the ammunition, and they were too close, so I pulled in, and I was too close to them, and she said something about calling the cops. I was like, whatever, bitch. Next thing you know, I had a star, and I had to run from the cops. I was like, this bitch actually called the cops on me, yo.
Yes. Yep. The moon phases change as the days and weeks progress, changing night lighting. Wow. Will you hit a button to look behind you, your car while driving? Your character looks in the rearview mirror.
That I didn't know. That's fun.
Son. Hey, I could talk about these all day. These are just crazy, man. So, check it out when you get a second. If you
a little one, I do this online when I'm being Batman. If you take a heavy sniper that shoots through cars and you shoot through a car's engine, the car won't start. Mm-hmm. It won't blow up or anything like Commando or nothing stupid, but it won't start. So if you're trying to catch someone and they're like I said, there's a guy and the guy robs someone and he's at a stoplight, you shoot through the hood, engine stops.
Wow.
And they get out of the car and, you know, they like a real person, like, what the fuck? And then you shoot him again. Then you retrieve the money for the person.
In a police shootout, if you shoot an officer in the leg, another might drag him behind cover to safety.
Oh, shoot. That I didn't know.
Bruh.
Yeah, this game is, the game is, yeah. It's like that. If you don't have, like I said, yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing. Even, like I said, I can understand if you comment that the game is flawed in a lot of ways. The mission design, certain things are flawed. But the experience of everything is so in-depth that you should at least be able to walk through. Like, if you're walking through Grand Theft Auto saying that you hate Grand Theft Auto while actively looking at it, then you're just missing the point. You also need some depressants. You have
it's so detailed.
This game to me represents the final stage of this generation of consoles. Like, it makes me excited for the next generation to see what they can do even more. Because this is what they could do with this game. Imagine when you can, like, oh, one thing we didn't mention. So when you're playing and you're robbing a store online,
yeah,
you have your headphone and microphone on, you can yell at the shopkeeper to make them put the money in the bag faster.
Crazy.
Yeah.
If you walk on the beach, you'll see a dog walking by himself. Later on up the beach, you see a woman asking about her lost dog.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you shave your head or keep your face clean, your hair and stubble will grow over time. Son, okay. All right. Nielsen is going to roll out Twitter ratings for TV shows. About time.
You say what now? It's going to do what?
Nielsen, the rating, you know, the ratings people. Mm-hmm. They're going to roll out Twitter ratings for TV shows.
Yeah.
Right, sounds about right. It's that time.
It's about time. They're actually a little late on that. Xbox had to release, there's a GameStop page called Xbox One Get the Facts. And they tell you, like, what an Xbox can and can't do. And that just made me chuckle because that's how bad Microsoft fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be like, so guys, here's the final definition of what you can and can't do. AT&T UVerse is expanded live TV universe for Androids and iOS phones and stuff. And so now you can watch up to 100 channels live using the UVerse app on your smartphones and tablets. Mm-hmm. So that's just pretty cool, man. Like, literally live TV wherever you go. Like,
yeah, I want Verizon to start adding more of their channels. Cause I have Verizon Fios. Mm-hmm. They have a Fios app that I can watch, and I use it all the time to watch some TV shows on my tablet while I'm doing something else on my TV. I want them to add more shows, add more channels that way, so I can watch almost everything that I'm paying for on regular cable on my tablet, because I'm like, it's I'm paying the bill. Right. So why can't I watch it, you know, from my tablet, so I can watch the game on one thing and I can watch another TV show on the other. I mean, that's what I want to be able to do. So I can do that with some channels now, but it's not nearly all the channels I have, and I want them to start doing that because it's worth it.
Yeah, we should be doing this already. Like, this is dope. So yeah, I got UVerse, so definitely gonna get this app, man. See if it's, only thing is sometimes they promote shit and then you get it and it's not as clear or as clean as they say it would be as an experience. I just hope that it's like watching TV where, you know, it's coming through. It's not glitching out every 5 minutes or pausing. It'd be dope, though, if I could sit on my, you know, my tablet at my local Wi-Fi spot and watch the game that I want to watch or whatever. Google Hangouts 1.3 will reportedly add SMS, giving Android its own iMessage equivalent. So Android phones and stuff, I guess, will be able to do like the free text messaging that iPhones are able to do between each other. But the reason I really wrote this article, got this article down though, is cause so I could just say Google Hangouts sucks and GChat needs to come all the way back.
Yeah.
It's really terrible, people.
It's useful in some ways, but it's just not as, it's something about keeping track of everyone. Like, I never know when you're on GChat to
Me
know.
Neither.
I don't know when anybody's on GChat to start a conversation.
Right.
Like, I remember, I just liked it when it used to just be yellow, red, green.
Yes.
and names would be organized and you could shift them up to the top. But now it's in the order of people you've spoken to recently.
Yes.
And it's that weird green bar that comes on it that's not consistent.
And then it tells you, like, what the last thing you talked about was. So it's not even like a, you know, like, it's like, it looks like you just were talking. You know what I mean? So I'm like, wait a minute. When's the last time I talked to Aaron? It says, you know, maybe Justice League will be done when we get back. Like, what were we talking about?
Right. I log in and I talk to my frat brother like 3 or 4 fucking months ago, and that's the first thing that's in my, I'm like, dude, this is a conversation for three. I'm looking at thinking that he just sent me a message. Like,
me too.
4 months ago. Yeah, sometimes Google is too smart for their own good. And this is one of those things, like, when they change the inbox for Gmail and things like that, I'm like, you guys can stop tinkering with some of this shit. Like, nobody was asking for this.
Yeah.
Stop changing it. It's okay. Go create some other shit. Stop tinkering with shit that works. Nobody was asking for Google Hangouts. GChat was just fine.
Yep.
Stop.
Apple and BlackBerry or someone, some other company are both trying to make, Oh no, it's Samsung and Apple both making watches you can talk to. I never thought I'd say this, but I feel like the phone surpassed the watch. Like,
yeah, yeah, a watch is a little clunky at this point. I like having, because essentially the cell phone is the pinnacle of stopwatch to have the pocket watch technology. Like, it took it, pocket watch, and ran with it all the way to the moon. We're good. I don't need to be wearing anything wrapped around my wrist. I'm good. There's no reason for me talking on my wrist like Dick Tracy. Yeah. I mean, the idea was cool years ago, but
what's crazy is that Apple still, it won't be a needle mover. They don't think it'll be a big deal, but the iWatch should still sell 10 million units in its first year.
I can believe that.
That's crazy. 10 million people still gonna get this shit. I don't know. I don't need a watch, and I'm not that guy who goes, I don't need this technology, so it shouldn't exist. I'm fine with it existing and everything, and I just honestly can't fathom how this could be better than a phone.
So the Samsung Gear or whatever
Galaxy Gear.
The Galaxy Gear. Yo, the commercial is tough. I'm not gonna lie. That is the greatest commercial I've seen for technology in a long time.
Yes.
But it's like, again, it goes with, I don't need the watch. I have my phone, and it's like, in order to get most of the features, it has to be paired with the phone. So that means I'm gonna already have the phone anyway. Like, why? I think maybe 2-3 years from now, it'll be something that you're like, yeah, I need to have that shit. But right now, it just seems like they're trying to work out the kinks. And I'm just like, oh, wait, I don't need to be a first adapter on this shit. We'll see what happens. It might be get to a point where, yeah, the watch is something that I'm like, it's actually could be something that's cool. And I think it could be. But at this point, I just don't know.
Star Wars is getting a new cartoon series of Disney XD in 2014. The first teaser trailer was released. It's only 16 seconds long. It just shows like a Battlestar cruiser flying off into the distance. I'm not excited about it at all. I posted it online and somebody was like, oh yeah, I'm hype. And I said, you're the reason Star Wars continues to suck.
Right. Yeah.
We cannot be this excited about nothing.
Yeah. I think I signed up to go to one of those panels this weekend. Yeah. I'm going to try to see it. I was not excited either because they have big shoes to fill with Clone Wars. And I feel like, you know, I was wrong. Disney did seem to, they didn't get why those shows were doing really well.
Yeah.
And they've canceled all the shows that were doing really well. So I was wrong. I thought Disney would understand it because they've been so hands off with the other stuff that Marvel's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And not just Marvel, but with these other, like with Marvel and with LucasArts and what they've been doing. But they've been really fucking, like, it's like they didn't understand that even though they're cartoons, they were cartoons for young adults and adults. They weren't just cartoons for kids. And I don't think that Disney has understood that, what they're doing, because I've even seen clips from the new Avengers Assemble. It just doesn't feel like
it's not good.
It's not like Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which was an amazing fucking show.
Yep,
they canceled it, so it's like, I'm not liking what Disney has done with their cartoons. Yep. Everything else they seem to be hands off with the movies and all that, but they've really been kind of screwing away. Their numbers are probably good because the kids are probably loving it, but as an adult, man, I'm not happy for what they've been doing.
Yeah, and that's a big assumption that the numbers are even good.
Yeah, true.
To be honest, because a lot of those shows that, because even the ones even those shows that seem more darker and more adult are still targeted towards kids. Like, you know, kids were watching that shit. So, I wouldn't be surprised if the numbers are about the same, no matter what they do. The guy who wrote The Lone Ranger is getting ready to write the Masters of the Universe He-Man movie. That's something I won't be seeing. Warner Brothers CEO stresses its intent to get Wonder Woman on film or TV. I finally worked around to seeing some of the palette that they did for the Wonder Woman TV show that got canned when people saw she was wearing capris. And I didn't see why it was so horrible that it couldn't have gotten on TV, but
they panicked.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're going to do it again. Like, is DC going to not be scared? Because it's one thing to stress this, but it's another thing to truly believe it and put it on TV. And I don't know how well Wonder Woman translates in a society where, you know, people are going to undoubtedly have a lot of opinions one way or the other about the idea of what kind of hero she is. So
I think, to me, I feel like what it comes down to, and I'm still not sold, even though that I think they did really well with Man of Steel, I'm still not sold on WB's resolve. Like, Marvel is in this to win it, and they're like, fuck it, if people don't like it, we don't care, this is what we're going to do. I am not sure that WB has that kind of resolve. Like I said, when they canceled that show, just off, they canceled it off of the people, the outrage over the costume in a one steal that was like an action steal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they canceled basically off of that. It's like, that is how nervous they are about doing anything right now. And I am just not sure if they can handle people going, oh, it sucks, without realizing that some of those people are stupid and aren't going to give them a shot regardless.
Right.
So
to a certain point, the only way the Justice League is going to work is if they give no fucks.
Right.
Because effectively nobody cares about the Justice League anyway. Like, we're a finicky group, and then America no longer care. They've kind of lost us on them. So just tell a story, do what you want, just do it with conviction, think about it, and go.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's Wonder Woman. She's controversial. There's no way to write this character that's, it's part of the allure and charm of the character, and it's probably part of what makes people disgust it. She is a controversial character. She's a woman running around in basically a bathing suit, saving the world, and can kick any dude's ass. It's gonna be controversial if you keep it at all true to the roots of the character. Like, once you start, and she's a huge feminist, so like, once you start throwing all this shit out and trying to make it fit in with society's norms now and to not rock the boat, then it's like, what's the point of this character if she's just a hot chick in capri pants fighting people? Like, people are gonna be like, this isn't really Wonder Woman, or like, what's the difference between her and any other hero at this point?
This is why I also tell people too, when they complain about Wonder Woman not getting made right away, Black Panther and things like that, I'm like, listen, I want it done right. So I don't care how long they take it. I know these studios want to do this stuff, but I don't think, like, what we're talking about now with the controversial nature of these characters, I don't think some of these people understand that. And they don't understand that these execs see that shit, and they're like, if we don't do this right, we are going to be in a world of trouble, and we'll never be able to bring this character back.
Exactly.
So I'm okay with them taking a long time. Like, people are like, we need to have a Wonder Woman film now. I'm like, no.
It's the Black Panther thing we talked about the first episode of the show, where it's like, I'd rather you do Black Panther right than do it in 2013. Like, and honestly, I do believe that is the choice, is wait and get it right, or, hey, just long people want it, just get it out there. Just get it out there. I don't care who you get playing them. Like,
I don't want to go back to the time.
Yeah, I've lived through those comic book movies, and I'm good. I'll wait on my quality, please. I'll wait on my quality. Speaking of waiting on quality, Peter Jackson's Hobbit trilogy has cost $561 million so far.
Well, all right then.
Mm-hmm. What did?
$561 million for the Hobbit trilogy so far. Of which one movie is out. I'm assuming the second movie is done.
Yeah, it comes out this December, I believe.
So, just working on that third movie.
Okay.
It's a lot of money.
Did you see the original? Did you see the first Hobbit? I didn't see it.
I saw it, did not like it, thought it was boring.
Yeah, I saw it. It reminded me of Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings. I mean, I'm not going to argue with him that it's boring, because it is. I mean, all the movies technically, if you think about it, boring. Everybody, here's the thing. Let's have a quick discussion.
It is more boring than two of the three Hobbit movies for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But they're like,
The first Lord of the Rings movie is really boring. People don't realize it. It's really boring. But I want to bring something up, because people always talk about good movies and things like, oh, can't be remade and things like this. They bring movies like Godfather and things like
that. Right.
But these good movies. I think people to realize that there's a difference between a movie being good and a movie being a good movie that you recognize that you will never really want to see or watch again. And these movies kind of fall into that. Same thing with The Godfather. It's like, you watch these movies, you like them good, but you think that because of the certain scenes that you really love. Well, what happened is, you'll watch the movie if it's on, but you'll watch it as a distraction to when you're doing something else. Like, you're cleaning the house and you'll watch this movie. And then when your scene comes on, you're like, oh, that's really awesome. And then you go back to ignoring the rest of the fucking movie. Like, there are movies like that that are good, but it's like, it's an entertainment value that's kind of missing with them, that they're only entertaining in certain parts. Two Towers is actually kind of boring too. It's like, it only gets exciting when they actually have the Battle of Helm's Deep, when it really picks up. It's like, it's things like, not saying it's a bad movie, but I think people, we tend to only focus on the exciting parts of some of these movies, and we completely forget. Like, I went into The Hobbit, I wasn't disappointed by it, because I remembered how boring Fellowship of the Rings was. So to me, it was like, yeah, this is about right. Yeah. So it's like, to me, it's like, yeah, I'm like, it's not a movie that you sit down and you watch for 3 hours. You come out like, oh my God. I'm like, it's not Avengers. It's never going to be that.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know. They're boring to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Aaron?
I was going to say, I can't even sit through those like that. I remember I walked out of the last Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah.
I just had enough.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah. I'm not one of those people that says a movie that gets like, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes and fans love it and shit. I'm not one of those people that's like, that movie is shit, but it was definitely boring for me.
That's the thing. I don't think Lord of the Rings was bad. I think it was boring. I was so bored. I cannot be objective with it. I don't know. I was bored. And I'm happy.
And they needed more black people. That's another thing. I'm tired of these fantasy worlds where no black people exist.
Well, I feel like Middle Earth was kind of like Middle America. There are no black people there.
Yeah. So. It's like the hardworking Americans that Hillary Clinton wanted to vote for.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Speaking of this, man, and I don't even know if we're going to be able to finish the rest of this show because I have like 17 minutes left, but I could talk about this 17 minutes. I went and saw Gravity, and me and Neil deGrasse Tyson apparently have the same mindset about this movie. And I had to apologize to Neil deGrasse Tyson on Twitter yesterday, because I've always kind of felt that he overstated the lack of knowledge and appreciation for space that America has and Americans have. And I said, man, come on, dog. Like, everybody knows about space. Learn about space your whole fucking life. You learn about space from like fourth grade on. Like, you know, everyone thinks about space. But then I saw Gravity, and everyone was telling me to go see it because it's a really good movie. And I saw it, and I was like, you know, it was well shot. The 3D was good. I don't know why people are acting like it's some type of mind-blowing thing. And I found out, apparently, nobody knows that space is deadly as fuck.
People think because Superman's all flying up in it that it's cool?
Yeah, I don't know where the disconnect, where is it happening? Because the second I learned about space, I was like, nah, fuck that. And I was only in like fourth grade. It's like, yeah, there's no oxygen up there. There's no fucking ozone layer protecting you from like the temperature fluctuations and shit. Earth is the only planet in the exact right spot to even maintain life in our solar system. Yeah, no thanks. No, like the basically giving away no spoilers. The plot to Gravity is that space is hard. That is the plot to Gravity. It's like space is really fucking hard, man. Like you gotta like, find a way to breathe and everything, y'all. And people were really eating it up like, yeah, man, Gravity is so good because it made space look scary. Space is scary. It's scary without me even watching this movie. They were like, oh, it's, you know, they scaled it down. It's only two actors in the movie, really. It's only 90 minutes long. Every second of space is scary in every movie. There's no movie where space is not scary, man. Like, in Aliens is scary. Even in the most cartoonishly ridiculous, like, That's Impossible movie, space is scary.
Dude, the 1979 Aliens film, the tagline was, in space, no one can hear you scream, all
right? Right. There's no oxygen to carry sound because you're in fucking space. It blew my mind because I started realizing how stupid people were. They really think when you see a battle in Star Wars, you can hear those explosions. They really think that that's what space fighting is.
That's the most scariest thing. I forgot. I've seen it every so often in things where some too, like there'll be like a dogfight in space and there'll be no sound. I think Battlestar Galactica doesn't do it.
Yeah.
But and all of a sudden, like one ship will shoot another and they'll explode in silence. I'm like, oh my God, he's dead.
They do that sometimes. Every now and then they'll do it in. It's not that there's no sound, but they'll mute the sound in like some of the Star Trek films. Yeah. And even then, it makes it more epic because, like, really, this is what's happening. You're seeing, like, all this shit flying around, and there's little to no sound. And you're like, that is creepy as fuck. Hell, Jason in space was fucking scary just because of the space aspect
in
of
space.
It.
Dude, how did they kill you in Battlestar? They just send you out the airlock. Why? Because space will kill you, motherfucker. It will kill you every time, 100% of the time. Space is deadly as shit. And people were like, well, in this movie, it's like space was the monster. Everything is the monster in space. It's space already, dude. It's space. I was so upset after this movie yesterday, because I was like, why are y'all acting like this is new? You know, that's why you need a suit. A suit is a coffin in space. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the tightest coffin you'll ever wear, because if anything goes wrong, if you cut the suit, you die. If you fucking, like, if you run out of oxygen, you die. You float away without any other force to press upon you to get you back to wherever you floated from. You fucking die. You get untethered. You die.
And this is why I have always said that, you know, Gravity never appealed to me as a movie, because I knew what was going to happen. I know the plot of Gravity without seeing it. It's like, it's two people in space. Something happens. They have to try to survive. One person has to try to survive in space. It's like, I know that's what's going to happen. I understand that you can probably shoot that in a very beautiful and breathtaking way. There's going to be tension and stuff like that. But I got to be honest, it's just not a film I want to sit through an hour and a half for. It's like, I need something else. I need something, because it's like, I've seen Apollo 13. I've seen films where it's just a person in space, or just, not just space, open waters. So why I never watched open waters, because it's like, I also, the same way we were talking about space, feel the same way about deep water. Like, that shit, fuck no. Right. Not fucking with that shit. All
right? Like Abyss. Fuck yeah, that. No. I know Abyss is scary. You know what I mean? Like, halfway through this movie, there's a scene where, like, a hatch opens, so there, it's supposed to like be like, oh, now space is kind of inside this thing, so you can't hear anything because there's no oxygen anymore. And this lady literally in a quiet theater goes, what happened to the sound? Do we need to get a manager?
No.
The movie starts with, in space there's no oxygen, there you can't hear noise.
That really did make me say fuck humans when you just told me that story. Like, I had to keep calm for a second. I really was about to turn on all humans. That really?
Dude, that's how I felt after this movie. I turned on humanity as a whole. I was like, y'all disgust me.
Y'all down here complaining about nonsense. You guys not even slightly aware that space, if anything, if someone were to punch a hole in the ozone layer, we're done.
Yeah. I am now, look, man, y'all know I love me some Obama, but this is one of the places I'm against him in. We can't be cutting funding to NASA no more, dog. I thought we could too. But then this movie came out and I found out motherfuckers think space is like going for a swim. And it's not. You will die. Point of the movie is you will die in space. It's very easy. Thought everyone knew this. Apparently it's a revelation. A revelation that makes people give it a 9 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes, because it's so refreshing to see a look at space that says space will fucking kill you.
Right. That's why I was like, dude, the reason why I need aliens and predators and shit like that in my space movies is because I've come to grips with the fact that space can already kill me. So now I need to up my level of what can shock me when it comes to space movies. That's why I need that shit. I'm not impressed by, oh yeah, an airlock, you can get shot. Like, dude, I watch enough sci-fi shows where getting shoved out in the airlock is what happens every fucking episode, alright?
Yeah.
That's how they open shows up with, like, Star Trek starts with basically half the ship being blown up and people getting sucked out into space and no sound happening.
And those have the those are the scariest of the deaths to me.
Right.
Like, I would rather fucking Khan rip my head off than fucking just float out into space and die. Like,
I remember the very first time I played Dead Space and went into space to deal with the outside of a ship. That shit blew my mind. Just to get out there and just to hear nothing, like you said, just that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Space, it took me a minute to get used to that.
Space is a vacuum. You know how paranoid I'd be, Aaron, of just like a suit puncture?
Oh god.
Space is a vacuum.
Yep.
Dude, there was I don't know if you guys ever watched what was it, Star Trek First Contact, where they had it's the movie where the Borg go back in time. I'm not saying it's a great movie or anything like that, but the scene where Worf and them are on the they're trying to fix a deflector shield, and the Borg are out there trying to stop them. Holy shit. It's a slow motion scene because they're in space and can't move fast. But it is one of the most terrifying scenes in that movie, because they're fighting the Borg in spacesuits on the hull of the Enterprise in outer space.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous, man. It's like, Yeah, man. Like, and that's, I'm trying to tell people, they're like, oh no, you gotta see it. It's a really good movie. I'm like, you don't understand. It's like, I'm pretty sure it's a good technical film.
Yeah.
My problem is, I'm just not impressed by these kinds of films because I know that already. I know, like, you can't convince me that space is that scary. I know space is scary.
So many people were just like, I can't believe that space is that scary. Cause I was like, why are we all so impressed by this? Cause, it's not even that the movie's terrible. Like, it's short, very tight script, like, but not much happens, to be quite honest. It's very, very, very straightforward. There's one scene of like, oh, this is some movie shit, but most of it's pretty straightforward. And, it's not very scientifically accurate, in my opinion. When it comes to like, well, put it like this. I won't say scientifically accurate. There's a lot of movie shit that happens in here where like, Sandra Bullock's only had 6 months of space training and they just let her go to space. And she's a doctor working on a satellite, which makes no fucking sense to me.
6 months?
Yeah, 6 months, dog. She also never passed the landing test. So seems like something that would be important to.
How do you fail a test? How do you fail a space test and get into space? I feel like there's no margin of error.
Yeah. Like I said, there were just things where I'm like, apparently, you know, all satellites are within view of each other and in this, and are rotated the same exact, height above the Earth, even though, you know, there's kind of infinite space above the Earth. And it seems like that would be like a one in a quadrillion shot that two satellites are orbiting even in the same, at the same spot. But
yeah, they didn't let fucking, Will Smith fly in the NASA, and he was a fucking jet fighter pilot, and they was
it had its movie moments. I'll put it that way. I won't even put any spoilers in there, but just there's a lot of shit where you're like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Spoiler, they're trapped in fucking space. I mean, like,
yeah,
what else can you fucking spoil? I mean, it's just like, yeah. I kind of have a feeling that I know how this ends and how it goes. It's just, mm-hmm. That's why it just never appealed to me. Like, I'm pretty sure that the way it looked like it was a beautiful film, and there's a, you know, they probably had a lot of themes going on, deeper themes, things like that. But it's just, again, it's another one of those films I don't care about.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say, I'm going to see the movie. I'm going to ask Rod to spoil it for me because I'm not going to talk now. I mean, just privately. Because if they die at the end, I want to see it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because those movies where people are out there in the obviously dangerous things and they're struggling for an hour and then they die. Yeah. I'm just sitting down like, yes.
That's how I was supposed to end. Yes. Like, we were talking about this. I had a fight party and we were talking about with Kevin, and they were telling me I got to see Frozen because they were like, that's what happened in Frozen.
Oh, yeah.
Frozen is fucking hilarious and great. So it's like something like that I'm there for, because it's like, okay,
Frozen, that scene where they were on the ski lift, right?
Yeah, they were the ski lift.
There was one dude said, I'm going to jump. And she was like, and then the girl was like, are you sure? And he's like, I'm going to jump. I can make it. And he jumps and both femurs shoot out of his fucking leg and he hits the ground. His legs are both turned into a cord and he goes, huh? and then the wolves are like, yo, what? What was that? What's going on?
Yo, dude,
dinner is served.
The way you were explaining it is the same way Kev and everybody else who has seen the movie explained it to me, and I was like, I might be able to see that then, because that sounds fucking awesome.
Michael B. Jordan's eye for Independence Day sequel. I like me some Michael B. Jordan, but does this mean that Will Smith's not doing Independence Day sequel?
No, Will Smith not doing Independence Day.
I don't know if I'm down with this. Zelda has a new method when in their games, a Link Between Worlds. They'll let you rent items to explore any dungeon. So remember that whole, like, when you had to level up, go to different dungeons, find things, and then you use that in the next dungeon?
Right.
Yeah, now you can go to the store and be like, I need a hook shot. All right, thanks. So
I'm not liking these microtransactions. Even they allow you to do it in GTA Online to use your real money, which I feel like it's not as bad of a problem in GTA Online, because somebody explained it to me. It's like, fine, cool. You want to use your real money to buy things in the game that I can just rob you for? All right, cool. I'll rob you of your real money in a virtual game. But things like this, I'm like, yo, just play the fucking game.
Yeah. Yeah. And very last story before we get out of here. Typical Nintendo. You know what? Actually, I'm gonna save this story for Karen, because it's some Nintendo shit, and she'll be mad about it. So instead I'll end it with this story. Grand Theft Auto 5 is already overtaking Grand Theft Auto 4 lifetime sales in the UK.
Yeah. Makes sense.
No, it doesn't. That's like a week. In 1 week, it eclipsed the entire lifetime sales of GTA 4.
The hype machine for Grand Theft Auto 5. Also, like I said, Grand Theft Auto 4 came out when other games were coming out and stuff. Grand Theft Auto came out in May a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But Grand Theft Auto 5, this is essentially the last game of our generation, unless you want to get Batman. You're done.
It's crazy because games still cost $60. I don't know, man. That's an amazing feat. When I read that, it was like a one paragraph article, like, yeah, this happened. And I was like, that is so much money.
The hype machine, homie. That's not, not a joke. Well, I've exaggerated.
The reason why I say it makes sense to me is because it's that good. I mean, the hype machine got me too. Cause at first I wasn't going to get, when they first announced Grand Theft Auto 5, I was like, yeah, whatever. Then I started seeing more stuff about it in this online thing. I was like, all right, cool. The hype machine got me. And then when I played it, it's like, it actually lived up to the hype. And I was like, this game is fucking awesome. Like, this is the game. Like, it always happens. You get the next generation of consoles coming out, and you get that one game that comes out. You're like, this is what the old system, this is the top, the pinnacle of what you can do on the old system. And that's GTA 5.
GTA 4 came out 4 years ago. It had 4 years of sales. Mm-hmm. GTA 5 came out 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It eclipsed the entire lifespan of Grand Theft Auto 4. Hey, Rockstar, y'all motherfuckers are printing money, dog. Like, that must be awesome. You know how popular Grand Theft Auto 5 is? You guys know they have the iFruit app on iTunes and all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
On Android, there's an app where they've made it the Grand Theft Auto iFruit app. It costs $1.99, except that it's not the iFruit app that's free, the real one.
Dude, I saw that. Dude, the thing about it was, I went to get the iFruit app, and it didn't come out on Android initially. Mm-hmm. About a week later, and there were hundreds of reviews like, this isn't the real iFruit app, what the fuck? Yeah. And that was like 3,000 times.
That's how popular that Grand Theft Auto is.
The scammers made out like bandits.
It made scammers rich, dude.
Mm-hmm.
This
game is where all the billions of dollars it made.
It really is, dude. Like, this is the first game that lets you know we can move on from this generation. Like, this is that game where you go, okay, and it's never gonna get better than that. So,
and it's a wrap.
Yeah, next gen, please. Next gen. All right, man. Well, this has been another episode of the Nerd Off, man. I had the homie Chris from the Sandy Check on here, man. Make sure you guys holler at him. I also have my man Aaron from Everything Twib on the show. Aaron, man, are you already out in California, or are you?
I'm going next year.
All right, man. It's crazy, man. All this moving and shaking over here, man.
It's a lot of stuff. There's stories I don't have the time to get into.
No problem, but you still, so now I'm assuming you just stay in Eli's crib, eating up his food, playing his Xbox. I don't blame you. What is he going to do? Kick you out? You know what I'm saying? The sword's in Cali, baby. all right, man. Thank y'all so much for checking us out. We'll talk to you guys later on. Peace.